Kunja Vihari Radha, Jai Radha Madhava, Kunja Vihari Radha. Gopi jana vallava girivara dhari Gopi jana vallava girivara dhari Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Ramuna Thira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Padivrajakacharya Stotara Satasi Simarisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Vishnupad Paramahansa Padivrajakacharya Stotara Satasi Simarisi Bhakti Siddham Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Nama Acharya Siddha Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sekahul Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siddhaita Gadadharam Srivasadi Gaur, Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Sisi Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath, Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Gangamayi Ki Jai, Jamunamayi Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bhav. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and purports by Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Deva Uchu Pura Kalpa Apaye Swakritam Udari Kritya Vikritam. Tvam Eva Adya Tasmin Salile Uraga Indra Adishayane Puman Sheshe Siddhai Hridi Vimrishita Adhyatma Padavi Saha Eva Adya Akshno Yaha Pati Charasi Vrityan Avasi Naha Deva Uchu Pura Kalpa. Well, this is a long one. Pura kalpa paye sakritam udari kritya vikritam. Let's try it again. Pura kalpa paye sakritam udari kritya vikritam. Pura kalpa paye sakritam udari kritya vikritam. Tam evadyas tasmin salila uragendra adishayane. Tam evadyas tasmin salila uragendra adishayane. Tvam evadyas tasmin salila uragendra adishayane. Puman sheshe siddhai hridi vimrishita adhyatma padavi. Puman sheshe siddhai hridi vimrishita adhyatma padavi. Sa eva dhyakshnor jat pati charasi vrityanavasinaha. Sa eva dhyakshnor jat pati charasi vrityanavasinaha. Try one more time here. Deva uchuhu. Pura kalpa paye sakritam udari kritya vikritam. In that word kalpa paye, you have to avoid the tendency to make one of the vowels short, like kalpa paye or kalpa paye. It's kalpa paye. Try that. Kalpa paye. That's it. Tvam evadyas tasmin salila uragendra adishayane. Puman sheshe siddhai hridi vimrishita adhyatma padavi. Puman Sa evadhyakshnor jagpati charasi vrithyanavasinaha. So who's going to try their luck? Deva uchuhu. Brakalpapaye sakritam udari kritya vikritam. Evadhyastasmin salila udagendra dishayane. Sakritam mudari kritya vikritam. Tam evadyas tasmin salila udagendra adishayane. Dhai hridi vimrishita dhyatma padavi. So the ladies, Deva Uju, Purakalpapa Ye Sakrita, ladies. Deva uchuhu. Dhakulpa baye sakritam udari kritya vikritam. Tame vadyas tasmin salila urgen radishayane. Puman Sheshe Siddhai Hridi Vimrishita Dhyatma Padavi. Sa Eva Dhyakshnor Japati Charasi Vrithyana Vasinaha. So the synonyms, Deva means the demigods, Uchuhu said, Pura, formerly, Kalpapaye, at the devastation of the Kalpa, Sakritam, self-produced, Udari Kritya, having drawn within your abdomen, vikritam, effect, tvam, eva, you, certainly, adya, original, tasmin, in that, salile, water, udaga, indra, on shesha, adishayane, on the bed, puman, personality, sheshe, taking rest, siddhai, by the liberated souls, like sanaka, etc., hridi, in the heart, vimrishita, meditated on, adhyatma padavi, the path of philosophical speculation, Saha hi eva certainly adya. Now akshno of both eyes, yahu pati on the path. Charasi, you move, vrityan, servants of asi, protect naha us. So the translation, the demigod said, Dear Lord, formerly when there was a devastation, you conserved all the different energies of material manifestation. At that time, all the inhabitants of the higher planets, represented by such liberated souls as Sanaka, were meditating on you by philosophical speculation. You are therefore the original person, and you rest in the water of devastation on the bed of the Shesha snake. Now, today, you are visible to us, who are all your servants. Please give us protection. So, Prabhupada's purport. Whoops, I think I just... Okay. The devastation indicated in this verse is the partial devastation of the lower planets within the universe when Lord Brahma goes to sleep. The higher planetary systems, beginning with Maharloka, Janaloka, and Tapoloka, are not inundated at the time of this devastation. The Lord is the creator, as indicated in this verse, because the energies of creation are manifested throughout his body, and after annihilation, he conserves all the energy within his abdomen. Another significant point in this verse is that the demigods said, "We are all your servants. Brityan, give us your protection." The demigods depend on the protection of Vishnu. They are not independent. Bhagavad Gita therefore condemns the worship of demigods because there is no need of it, and clearly states that only those who have lost their sense go asking favors of the demigods. Generally, if anyone has material desires to be fulfilled, he can ask Vishnu instead of going to the demigods. Those who worship demigods are not very intelligent. Besides that, the demigods say, "We are your eternal servants." So those who are servants or devotees of the Lord are not very much concerned with fruitive activities, the performance of the prescribed yajnas, or mental speculation. They simply serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead sincerely with love and faith, performing everything with that loving service, and the Lord gives such devotees direct protection. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Simply surrender unto me, and I will give you protection from all the reactions of sinful activities." This material world is so created that one has to act sinfully, knowingly or unknowingly, and unless one's life is dedicated to Vishnu, one has to suffer all the reactions of sinful life. But one who surrenders and dedicates one's life for the service of the Lord has direct protection from the Lord. He has no fear of suffering from sinful reactions, nor does he desire willingly or unwillingly to do anything which is sinful. Prabhupada Gita. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedan Samaniti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatide Shatarine Deva Uchuhu Purakalpapa Ye Sakrita Mudari Kritya Vikritam Tome Vadyas Tasmin Salilauda Gendradi Shayane Pumanche Se Siddhai Ridivim Rishita Dhyatma Padavi Sai Vadyakshnor Jagpati Charasi Vrityana Vasinaha. So the demigods are here addressing the Lord Pura, formerly, previously. Kalpa apaye, at the end of the kalpa, literally when the kalpa went away, or at the devastation of the kalpa. Apaya literally means going away, when the kalpa vanished, when the kalpa was over. Udari kritya, the Lord took within his belly swakritam, that which he had himself created, and made it vikritam, undone. Kritam is done or made. And vikrita means undone, dissolved. So he, that which was swakritam, his own doing, he now undid by taking it within his belly. That's literally, or within his stomach, abdomen. That's literally what it says. Pura kalpapaye swakritam udari. Of course, udara is a stomach or belly. Udari kritya vikritam. Tvameva adyas. You alone. Adyas. Today. Tasmin salile. In that water. Uragendradi shayane. That water in which the adishayana, the bed, or the resting place, is uraga indra. Indra means the ruler or lord or chief. So actually, the demigod Indra is actually a title rather than a personal name. It's just like you can say about any president, the president, or about any king, Rajan. So Indra is actually a title. It mean, and so here we have Udaga. Very interesting word. Sanskrit is quite entertaining. Ura. Ura means chest in Sanskrit. Ga means go. So Uraga is a chest goer. And a chest goer is a snake, because snakes go on their chest. So literally it says here the ruler of, or the best, or the lord of chest goers, of serpents, Uraga Indra, Uragendra and Adi Shayane on the resting place. Every, as Prabhupada said, every word, every syllable is significant. Shayana, Numan. And so it's just like in English, we, or America, we say colloquially, he's the guy, or he's the man. You know, whoever is the boss, or whoever. You say, like, who's in charge here? And then someone will say, well, he's the man. So in the same, they do the same thing in Sanskrit. Not exactly the same flavor of speech, but so Puman just means the guy, you know, the person, the male person, and it means Krishna, because he's the man. So Puman, the person, Prabhupada translates here, personality, she lies down on that bed. So you alone today, in that water in which there's that resting, in that resting place, you lie down, siddhair, and by the siddhas, by the perfected beings, shriddhi, in their hearts, vimrishita dhyatma padavi, you are meditated upon, vimrishita, you are meditated upon as adhyatma padavi, literally the way or the path of the higher self. Atman in Sanskrit means self, but it's used as in English. The self can mean like he washed his car himself. And so we don't mean necessarily the soul washed the car. I mean, it's understood the body, or, you know, think it over yourself. So just as in English we use the word self sometimes as body or mind or soul, it's not, so when Prabhupada says Atma means body, mind, or soul, it's not a very mystical grammar that's involved here. It's just a very simple, ordinary sense in which in any language the word for self is sometimes used in different ways depending on just what platform you're referring to. But ultimately, Atman means the self. Even when it may refer to the body or mind, it does so in the same way the word self does in English. And so, but the word literally always means self, but sometimes the word self refers to the body or the mind. That's the idea. And so there is that discipline in the language. And Adi, as we've already seen in Adi Shayana, Adi means over, above. So Adhyatma literally means the higher self. The higher self. And it's used, Adhyatma, the higher self, because the word Atma is used for various things. So therefore, when they want to make it very clear we're talking about the soul here, then often they'll say Adhyatma, the higher self. And of course, it also refers to Krishna. Or, Prabhupada translates it here, the path of philosophical speculation, which is interesting. Which is, so Prabhupada's translation provides a context, because since he takes siddhai, literally just the perfected beings, to be liberated souls like Sanaka, the four Kumaras were very intellectual sages, so therefore by taking the word siddha to mean those sages, the word adhyatma, thereby he takes to mean philosophical speculation, which is was the path of those sages. But it all begins from the literal sense of the words, which simply means that you are the path of the higher self as meditated upon in the heart by the perfected beings. And then Prabhupada, within his translation, gives a certain explanation of what those words are understood to mean among the Vaishnava Acharyas. So, the reason I mention this is because Sanskrit is not, I mean, it's a language which describes the master of all mysticism, Yogeshwara Krishna. But grammatically, it's actually not simple. It's not that mystical or mysterious. It's a straightforward language. And then, but because the subject matter In other words, there's a difference between it's a spiritual subject matter which has many levels of meaning, and that comes out in the translations and purports. But the grammar is not exactly mysterious, it's actually straightforward. So the mysticism or the esoteric spiritual meanings are in the subject matter rather than simply the grammar. So Puman Sheshe Siddhai Hridi Vimrishita Dhyatma Padavi Sa Eva. He alone, meaning you alone. If you look at the first words of the second line, Twam Eva, you alone, and now the fourth line, Sa Eva, you, he alone. So in Sanskrit, when the word Twam, you, is used with Sa, he, it has a sense of you, that very person. You, that very person, that has that sense. So here, Saiva, that very person alone, or you. Adya, today. The original Adyas, I'm sorry, I said today. The original was Adyas, Tomev Adyas, you alone, the original being. So that was cut and paste there. Yes. Oh, they do? Oh. Okay. So the second line is actually Tuam, you. Tuam, you. You alone. And here, Saiva, he alone, meaning you, that very person. Saiva, Adya, today. Akshnor. Yeah, because I made a mistake there. First one I've ever made, actually. That, in the second line, what was that line? If I was a little more humble, I'd be Nayanapatta, on the path of my eyes. Nayanapatta. Let Jagannath Swami be the one who goes on the path of my eyes. And here, the same thing. It's just Akshnorapati, on the path of the eyes. Chadasi, you are moving on the path of the eyes. And Vrityan, Avasinaha. Another interesting thing, if you look at what the literal sense, and there are words like dasa and so on, but here, or sevaka. Sevaka would be very close to the English word servant, because it's made from the word to serve. Seva, and then sevaka, a servant. But the word vritya, translated servant, literally means one who is to be maintained by the master. So it actually, the word emphasizes not the duties of the servant, but the benefits of being the servant. Because the servant is the one to be maintained. This, of course, is the same word used in the famous verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekale Ishwara Krishna, the only Lord is Krishna, our sub, everybody else. Vritya is literally to be maintained. And also that verse in the Upanishads, which occurs in three Upanishads, actually. Eko bahunang jo vidadati kaman. That nityo nityanang, the one eternal among the all eternals. Chaitanas chaitananang, the conscious being among all conscious beings. Because eko bahunam, the one for the many, Jobidadati Kaman is providing all their needs, all their desires. So again, the Lord is the Lord, not simply because He can push everybody around, although He can do that, but the Lord is the Lord because He actually takes care of everyone. And this is very interesting because it gets into all kinds of issues, like in ISKCON, we, at least in the past, of course, and still today, we tend to be a hierarchical society. We have hierarchy. There's, you know, which is interesting because on the other hand, we teach very strongly, at least Krishna teaches very strongly, that we are all one in the sense that we are all equally children of Krishna. And at the same time, there are differences because of people's different achievements. And so, to be a lord, to be a master, to be in charge, ultimately means the one who is most able and willing to take care of others. And this gets into issues of, it gets into all kinds of issues, the role of women, the role of men, the role of gurus, and so on and so forth. So that as a leader, as a guru, as a husband, as a father, or whatever, the first question has to, as an older brother, the question is, how do I best take care of this person? How do I best take care of this person? How can I best assure that this person is happy in Krishna consciousness? And that's what it means to be a lord. Because the word servant is the one who is to be taken care of, literally. So, any questions so far as we move right along here? No questions? I haven't gotten myself in trouble yet. Yes, Govinda Dutta.
Are you coming to that? I don't want to
ask the
question prematurely. Towards the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying the material world is so created that one has to act sinfully, knowingly or unknowingly. Unless his life is dedicated to Vishnu, he has to suffer all the reactions of sinful activities. The one who surrenders and dedicates his life for the service of the Lord has direct protection from the Lord. Could you please comment on that?
Sure. The material world is so created that one has to act sinfully, knowingly or unknowingly. I personally know very, very, very few devotees, if I know any, who, since the day they joined the Hare Krishna movement, are batting 1,000. In other words, have never blundered, have never had any difficulty whatsoever with any regular principle. I mean, I'm sure there are such people. They just have never made themselves known to me. So, I mean, everyone has their own struggle. Everyone is... It's not an easy thing to get out of the material world. Especially starting... You know, we kind of crawled out of the slime of Kali Yuga. Prabhupada hosed us off at a distance, you know, and then we... This is why Prabhupada sometimes had to be a little reserved, you know, because... and then, of course, there's the points that whether you like it or not, you know, you kill living beings by drinking water, breathing, or just walking on the sidewalk. And it's just the world is very difficult. It's a very difficult place. And so... we have to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, we are actually responsible for all these things. And it's interesting. There's always, if you read Bhagavad Gita, it's really the, Bhakti Yoga is really the art of balance. Like Krishna says, don't eat too much, don't eat too little, don't sleep too much or too little, and so on. Similarly, there, we have to have rules, we have to have discipline. Otherwise, everything will simply disintegrate and there will be no standards. I mean, it won't be a path. It won't be a process. At the same time, we have to be generous and merciful, as Prabhupada was. And so where's the perfect balance between generosity and counting will simply disintegrate and there will be no standards. I mean, it won't be a path. It won't be a process. At the same time, we have to be generous and merciful, as Prabhupada was. And so where's the perfect balance between generosity and accountability, discipline, and so on. So it's that's why there is no substitute for actual realization. That's why Bhakti Yoga is an art. Krishna says, "Karma Sukoshalam." It can never be reduced down to simply mechanical rules. Like, I remember one time I went to a doctor in Gainesville and he kind of asked me my symptoms and typed them into a computer so the computer would tell him what was wrong with me and what he should do for me. And I wasn't quite comfortable with that. I mean, I'm not against using a computer to get the latest information, but you have to have a feel for it. It's just like in a relationship. You can't merely read those books like Men Are From Hell. No, Men Are From Mars. Women are... What is it? Women are for women are the Venusians, men are the Martians. I mean, there's like billions of books out right now on this male-female thing or just relationships, how to get along with people in general. But you can't merely read those books and form good relationships. You actually have to have some sense of just how to do it. It's just like in sports, you know, you can't just practice and get all the mechanics down, because inevitably in sports or in music there are or in management there are situations, there's not rules for everything. Krishna himself says that, by the way, in the Mahabharata, that he says nasarvang vidyate, that everything is not covered by rules. In other words, otherwise if we needed a rule for every situation in life, I mean, you'd have to have like thousands of books, and who's going to learn them all? I mean, before you took one step, you'd have to look up to see if there was a rule covering that. There are people that actually tried that, Smarta Brahmins. But so there are basic rules, and we have to stay within the boundaries of the basic rules. But within those boundaries, there's lots of space. And in every situation, to really do things just right requires realization. There's no substitute for it. And that's why Prabhupada in the first canto of the Bhagavatam says that discrimination comes from realization. So to keep the balance, where's the balance between generosity and discipline? You know, what is eating too much? What is eating too little? And so on. It requires Krishna conscious realization. A spiritual society ultimately can only flourish if the members have genuine Krishna consciousness. And that's why Rupa Goswami says that if a person thinks that bhakti yoga can really be reduced down to rules, it gives the same result as not following the rules. Niyamagraha, Niyupadeshamrita. If someone doesn't follow the rules, they're obviously up Maya's Creek without a paddle. If someone doesn't follow the rules, but if someone thinks it's all rules, they'll also do poorly in spiritual life. That's what the acharyas have taught us. So there has to be genuine Krishna consciousness, which no one can force anyone else to do. In other words, if someone's living in a temple, we can insist that that person, in order to live in the temple, let's say, come to Mangal Arati. But at the Mangal Arati, how sincerely are they chanting? Are they really opening their heart to Krishna? Are they really seeking the mercy of Radharani? That internal stuff, no manager, no guru can control. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And so, as those of us who have some responsibility in this con, that's all we can do. You can lead the horse to the water. You can teach that these are the boundaries. This is the program. The acharyas, Prabhupada representing the acharyas, is the program he's given us. But ultimately, how sincerely do I chant the holy name of Krishna? How sincerely do I practice? If I'm called upon to serve another Vaishnav, within my heart, am I actually resentful or indifferent? Am I actually trying to serve that person? These are things that cannot be managed from outside. And actually, our internal approach ultimately determines our fate in spiritual life. We've seen many, like, super sadhakas. These people, you know, come and go. I remember one guy joined our temple in Berkeley in 1969, and he was determined that within an extremely short period of time, he would become... Our internal approach ultimately determines our fate in spiritual life. We've seen many schools, the more technical it becomes. And there's this tendency to mechanize bhakti yoga, to sort of master it, get the hang of it, see what makes it tick, master it, and then control it. And Rupa Goswami says this leads to a fall down. So within all the religions of the world, in India, I mean Judeo-Christian, in every religion in the world, you can see that there was a tendency to master the process. Because we come to this world to lord it over, after all. And so it's just like a car. If you take your hands off the wheel, you know, the axle's bent, it goes off to one side. So if like Krishna just kind of like takes his hands off the wheel and lets us go freely, we tend to go to controlling. We want to control. And therefore, there is it's like an undertow. It's like if you're at the beach and there's an undertow, there's a current. You remember that when I was a kid, I'd go down to the beach and I thought I was like in the same place. Like, as far as I knew, I was just catching waves. But then about 20 minutes later, you look and you find you've actually moved about two blocks down the coast. So in the same way, there are undertows, there are currents beneath the surface in spiritual life. And if one does not have one's bearings, if you don't really have your reference point, and actually, this tendency, and Prabhupada, of course, thank God, very much wasn't into this. Prabhupada was the opposite. Satsrupa, Prabhupada first allowed his disciples to perform fire sacrifices. Satsrupa asked him different strategies for controlling the process of bhakti yoga, whereas in fact the essence of bhakti yoga is to give up control to Krishna.
Point about how we can't just follow the rules, but at the same time Prabhupada once said that if you want to make very quick advancement, then follow all the rules, the big ones and the small ones.
However, if you look at the number of rules Prabhupada gave, it's a very healthy amount. Ever since, actually, devotees started really going to India in 1970, those who are sort of technically inclined have brought back an ocean of rules. Prabhupada gave us four regular principles, 16 rounds, associate with devotees, you know, do the morning program at least, wash your hands after you eat. Prabhupada said when Allen Ginsberg said to Prabhupada, you've given so many rules, Prabhupada just laughed and said, if you saw how many rules I didn't give, you'd faint. But of course, luckily, Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples have closed the gap now and brought back all those dizzying rules. And so, unfortunately, our temples are still not swamped in these things, but there are endless rules. So when Prabhupada said, follow all the rules, he was undoubtedly referring to the ones he taught. And he taught a healthy amount.